Daniel chapter 6. You know, when we see pictures of Daniel in his life, sometimes we picture them or envision them as being a certain age, right? How old did Adam look? All right, well, did he look 30 or 40 or 20? Like, how old did he look? God made him, right? So he was a full-grown man. But what does that mean? Does it mean he looked like he was 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, right? Daniel, the same way. As we look at him in our mind and we envision him, I always envision a mature, middle to young, aged adult. But Daniel was taken from Israel when he was a teenager. 17, 18 years old. So at that age, he was taken to a whole other land. So he is brought up in Israel, Jewish teaching, godly teaching, right? Commandments and ceremonies and sacrifice and prayer and singing and all that stuff. He was brought up knowing there was one God, Creator God, knowing that God who made the universe, right, put his story in the heavens, in the stars. And so now Daniel's taken from Israel to Babylon as a teenager. He's already made his commitment to live for God, to serve God, to be devoted, to be 100% sold out for God. Now I ask you this morning, how many of us have made that decision? You say, well, I'm saved. That's not what I asked you. How many of us are willing to go all the way for God? Daniel was uprooted and taken to a whole nother place, but he didn't quit God because that happened to him. Because something unexpected or bad happened in his life, he didn't quit believing God. Now, I say unexpected. Let me back up and say, I believe Daniel heard the preaching of the prophet Jeremiah, and he knew that it was coming. He knew that judgment was coming to the land of Israel, to the people of God. He knew judgment was coming. And so when it happened, he was certainly ready for it spiritually. He knew it was going to happen. Now we say we know that the Lord's going to come back, right? Or that we know that the end time is going to bring more troubles, right? Wars and rumors of wars. Does that bother you? Wars and rumors of wars? No, we say we knew it was going to happen. Pestilence, disease, pandemic, does that worry you? No, because the Bible says it's going to happen. Right? Global warming, does that worry you? No, because we knew it's going to happen. Right? We already knew that the Bible said these things were going to occur. And so we don't worry about it. What about sin? Ever increasing sin and reduced morals. Does that bother us? Sure it does. But we knew it was going to happen. We knew it. And so, because we know the preaching of God's Word, the teaching of God's Word, we're prepared for it. But it's just like when somebody is dying and we know they're dying. And we say, are we prepared for it as much as we can be? But then when it happens, then we know if we were prepared for it or not. Daniel was ready for the invasion. He was ready to be taken captive. But then it happened. Well, guess what? Daniel was still ready. He still had his faith. He still believed in God. He still trusted God. Trials will come. But let me tell you, you got to decide today if you're going to be faithful to God or not. We need to decide now where we're going to stand when the trials come, when the pressure's on. We've got to decide today. It's too late when we're in the fire to decide if we're going to be faithful to God. We better decide now. We better form it in our hearts and in our guts that we're going to stand for God. We're going to live for God. We're willing to die for God. Simon Peter said, Lord, I'll die for you, right? Y'all remember that? Pulled the sword, cut the man's ear off. And Jesus put the man's ear back on. Peter's down in the courtyard later that evening, warming himself by the fire. The man that said, I'll die for you if that's what it takes. And they say, you want his? He said, Nope. You talk like them? No, not me. You were in that group, weren't you? Not me. Guys, we got to decide. Now, it's too late when the heat is on. We got to decide now, we're going to live for God. His integrity set him apart. Daniel's integrity set him apart. He's taken captive. He's in the prison just like Joseph. What happens when he's in the ward? I say prison. He's in ward. He's a, you know, he's an, in, you know, he's captive. What happens? He rises to the top. Said that he was smarter than everybody else. He was in better health than everybody else. He was stronger than everybody else. Why? Because he was living for God. Because he was faithful to God. Because he didn't get depressed with the situation. Because he didn't quit on God. Because times got tough. That's why. God elevated him to second in command. You know, Daniel didn't want to be king of Babylon. Daniel didn't want to be the vice president of Babylon. But that's what happened is he was so excellent. The Bible says he had an excellent spirit that God just elevated him and he got promoted all the way up to being in charge of the whole empire. Look at chapter 6. Are you there? I promise you we're going to read some of it. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts to them and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. You see that? The king said, Daniel's in charge of everything. If there's any decision to be made, let's see what Daniel thinks. That's where Daniel was in his life. Now, I said he was taken captive at the age of 17. A teenager, 17, 18. We've passed some time between then and now. The estimate is that at this point of chapter 6, Daniel is 80 years old. 80 years old. We're not talking about a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old. We're not talking about a 17-year-old. We're talking about a man who's been through life now. And he's lived for God every day of his life. And he's risen to prominence. He's been elevated to the second over the whole kingdom. The Bible says that he had an excellent spirit. What does that mean? How many of us right now don't point fingers or raise your hand, but how many of us can think of someone right now and we can say, now that person has an excellent spirit. They're kind. They have integrity. They're generous. They're loving. They're compassionate. Right? They're thoughtful. All right? Who are we talking about when we say they have an excellent spirit? Well, they were talking about Daniel here. In verses 4 through 9, we find out that while Daniel had an excellent spirit, and he was, let's say, vice president, second in command over the whole realm, that there were some people that were jealous of him. Have y'all ever known anybody to get jealous? Have y'all ever known anybody to be vindictive when they get jealous? When they are envying your position or your success. Yeah, some were not impressed by Daniel. And they were envious of his authority. You see, everything went through him. You ever have a great idea? Anybody here? Just asking. And then you have to run it by somebody, right? You have to tell them. Because, you know, maybe you work somewhere and there's somebody over you. So you go to them with a great idea. Because you can't just do it. You got to have authorization. And so you go to them with this terrific idea, best idea you've ever had, best idea probably anybody ever had, right? And you tell it to them and they say, no, we're not doing that. Anybody ever experienced that? Don't you think that happened in these guys' life? They would come up with this idea and they was, you know, send it up the chain and it would get to Daniel, and Daniel would say, yeah, we're not doing that. You know, leadership means you have to say no sometimes. Leadership means you have to make the best decision, not just what's going to make everybody feel good, but you have to be able to say no, and you have to be able to tell people they're wrong. How many of y'all are good at doing that? I mean, besides your husband, right? You can tell him no, and he's wrong all the time. You're good at that. I think they must give y'all a course on that in high school. But we have to be able to tell that to our children, and we have to be able to say it. Are y'all ready? We have to be able to say that to grandchildren, too. I know, you weren't ready for that one. We have to be able to say that to people when they're wrong, when they have an idea that won't work, or it's not time for that idea. It doesn't mean it's a bad idea. It just means it won't work right now. Daniel probably had to tell some people no. And some people got jealous. Don't you imagine they're walking around there saying, who does this Jew think he is? They brought him in here as a captive. He's nothing more than a slave. And somehow he's needled his way, wiggled his way into some kind of an executive position. And he thinks he's so cool because he's the boss around here. I got news for him. We're going to fix him. That's in the Pahokee translation. But that's what happened in verses 4 through 9. They said, we're going to get him. What can we do to catch him? Man, they were looking for everything. They were looking to see, did he cheat on his taxes? Did he run a red light? Anything. Man, what does he do? We got to find something wrong with this guy. But you know they couldn't find anything wrong with him. They couldn't find a thing. They went through his texts, his emails, his Facebook, nothing. Couldn't find anything wrong. Woke some of y'all up, but that's not even in the Bible. But they were doing some research, and they were doing some, they were really digging, and they couldn't find a thing wrong. But you know what they said? They said, that dude goes to Capitol Heights Baptist Church every Sunday. We'll get him somehow then. Something like that. Here's what they said. They said, he prays 3 times a day on schedule. You can bet. 3 times a day, he's going to open that window, get on his knees, and pray toward Jerusalem where the temple is every day. Rain or shine or snow or sleet, didn't matter. He is going to be on his knees, facing the temple, praying to God. We got to find some way to get him, and the only way we can get him is by his prayer. Wow, is that all that you do wrong? Pray. If they pass a law against prayer, would you even get a ticket? Think about that. What was wrong? He was consistent. Now, trying to bring it home, I say he goes to church every Sunday. What about that? Are we consistent? In our times, are we consistent? The question's been asked, if you were accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? How about that? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. They said, we got to find a way. They passed a law. They passed a law that you can't pray to anyone but the king. They made the king God. You can't pray to anyone except the king. And of course, being a good, godly person, Daniel said, I must follow the law. Daniel said, that law goes against God. I'm not following it. Right? Are we going to follow the law? Are we going to follow man's law over what God wants? We're going to do what God wants. Peter said, I'll die for you. Have we gone that far? Are we willing to fight for what's right? Are we willing to stand for what's true? Are we willing to stand with God and stand against the entire world if that's what it takes? Or are we going to jump on the bandwagon and be part of the majority and go along with it because we don't want to make anybody mad? Don't want to hurt any feelings and don't want to break any laws. By the way, I'm not a lawbreaker. Well, okay. Sometimes my foot's a little heavy. But generally speaking, I live within the law, within the bounds of the law. But I'm not saying we ought to just be out there breaking every law. But what I am saying is this, is if they pass a law, look, they pass a law that says marijuana is legal. Does that mean we got to smoke it? They pass a law that says you can drink alcohol. Does that mean we got to drink it? They pass a law that says you can have an abortion. Does that mean we got to go have one? Guys, there's a difference between them saying what we can do and what we have to do. You understand that, right? Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. And so that doesn't mean we got to all jump out there. We got to do what's right. And by the way, I know there are many medical uses for marijuana now, and there's even medical uses for alcohol. So let's not have that discussion. We just skip on past that one today, all right? They passed a law that you have to pray to the king and no one else. And Daniel opened his window on schedule and got on his knees and he prayed to God. And they went running to the king. King, king, Daniel's over there praying. Not to you. He broke the law. And the king says, oof, I should have thought about this law before I signed it. I should have thought about the unintended consequences of the law that I passed. You see, sometimes there's unintended consequences. They didn't mean it to go that way, but it went that way, and now it's the law. Well, see, there's this thing. The king can't just go, I cancel the law. He loved Daniel. Daniel was his right-hand man. Let me show you something. In verse number 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open, his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks unto God as he did aforetime. I want you to see, Daniel knew the law was in existence. Daniel knew the law had been signed. And Daniel went and prayed anyway. He kept doing what he was doing. Why? Because he was doing what was right. Why? Because he had made a decision a long time ago he's going to live for God. These children that are going to get baptized today, man, what a great idea that at 4 or 5 or 6 years old that they can make a decision at that point in their lives to follow Jesus, that they can die to themselves and live for God from that point forward. Boy, if they do it, it'll save them a whole lot of headaches, won't it? If they'll be true to that commitment, it'll save them a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of trouble if they'll stay true to the commitment they make today in baptism. Dying to self, living for God. Daniel said, I don't care what the law says, I'm praying to my God. What does the law say? The penalty is to be cast to the lion's den. The king said, well, go get them. I mean, that's the law. There's no way to take it back now. We just have to see what happens. They took Daniel. They threw him in the lion's den. Closed the door. Rolled the stone in front of it. Verse number 17. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. I mean, they sealed that cave, that den. They sealed it so he couldn't get out and the lions couldn't get out. They were in there together. And let's see what happens. And the king hated it. He languished all. You ever have a night where you just couldn't sleep? Just one of those nights you say, I just can't sleep. And you worry and you toss and you turn. And the king did that night. The Bible tells us that he just couldn't sleep. In verse 18, his sleep went from him. Now, early in the morning, as the dawn is breaking, the king jumps out of bed and he runs down to that lion's den. He wants to see how Daniel is. Because, you know, if you throw a man in a den of lions, what's going to happen? You just assume that the lions are going to get on him and chew him and scratch him and bite him and kill him and eat him up, right? I mean, that's why he's in there. But the king says, maybe not. Maybe not. Y'all ever make decisions based on maybe not? You say, well, there's a chance I could die, but maybe not. And so what happens? The king gets there. They roll the stone out of the way. And he says, Daniel, Was your God able to save you? In verse number 20, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Excuse me. Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, verse 22, and shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He said, look, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm right with my God. God and I are okay. And God delivered me. So he said, them lions didn't bother me. Remember, okay, get your mind right. He's 80 years old. At 80 years old, he's in there petting the kitty cats. You're not worried about lions. What happened when he went in? You know what happened? They took him up to the den of the mouth of the den, and he walked right in. You know why? Because what happens if the lions eat him? Right? He's got peace with God. The problem is we're so afraid to die, we won't live. We got to learn to live. Live life to its fullest. Get the most out of it. Daniel walked right in that den of lions. I don't know if he walked up to them. The Bible doesn't tell us all that, but it tells us that the angel was there and told those lions, don't even open your mouth. Don't even open your mouth. You see, but look at verse 23. The king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him. Look at this. Because he believed in his God. It was his faith. Guys, troubles are going to come. Heartaches are going to come. Hazards are out there. But we have got to determine in our hearts right now, God, I'm going to live for you. No matter what, no matter who it upsets, no matter who it offends, I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to say what's right. I'm going to do what's right. We've got to decide that. Even up to the den of lions, if that's what it takes. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry if it offends you. No apologies for offending people when it comes to what's right. If right offends you, all I can tell you is get right. It's time for God's people to stop being scared to take a stand. We've got to take a stand on what's right. We must choose God's way. Keep our prayer life consistent. Why was Daniel delivered? Because God said Daniel's consistent. I know where he's going to be when it's time. I know where he's going to be. He had an appointment with God 3 times a day. Window open, facing the temple. Why was he facing the temple? Because God, when Solomon came to God about the temple, he said, if my people, even if they can't come to this place, if they'll look toward this place and pray, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then what? Then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land, and I will forgive their sins. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and Daniel did that 3 times a day, even if it meant death, even if it meant breaking the law, even if it meant offending the people that didn't have the same integrity he did. Look, let me say this. If we'll act with integrity, we don't have to hide from our actions. We don't have to apologize for our words. Wouldn't it be great to never have to apologize again? Look, if we owe an apology, we ought to apologize. But if we'll do the right thing and say the right thing, we've got nothing to apologize for. And that's where we need to be. That's where Daniel was. Why was Daniel delivered? It says it right there. Because he believed in his God. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't really know the God of Daniel, but you could. Guys, the God of Daniel is the God of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. The God of Daniel is the God of the resurrection when Jesus rose from the grave and he went to the Father. That's the God of Daniel. We have some ideas about Daniel being taken from Israel and taking the Jewish teachings and the godly traditions over to Babylon. And that's where those, as we call them, the wise men from the east got their teachings. Was from Daniel, when Daniel was taken over there. But at 80 years old, he was able to take a stand because as a boy, he gave his heart to God. Would you do that this morning as we stand? You know, right where you stand, you could pray and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I need you. I know Jesus died for me. I put my faith in you, God. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. This is your opportunity right now where you stand. Talk to God. Maybe you're already born again. But you realize that, you know, you're really not as committed, not as devoted as you should be. You compromise. You wimp out. You don't take a stand as you should. And here's an 80-year-old man that says, look, I don't care if I die. I'm not compromising. I'm going to still stand for what's right, no matter what. Is that your desire today? Talk to God right now from where you stand. God, I want to live for you all the days of my life. This is your opportunity. Your attention this morning. I was just reminded that we got the offering plates up here and we were going to start passing the plate again. Y'all ready to start doing that? Yeah. But Brother Thurman has built us a box back there where the offering plates were. And so if you're more comfortable just dropping your offering in that box, then we'll continue to do it that way, okay? So at this point, either place you could drop your offering in and we'll make sure it gets where it needs to go. All right? Appreciate your faithfulness in giving, making everything run as it should. Any announcements, anything before we dismiss? Go on. What'd you say? Oh, knocking the offering plates down? Yeah. Thank you, Brother Thurman, for that. Let's go to the Wasissa and baptize. Are there any other announcements, prayer requests, praise reports? All right. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We go to Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask you if you would. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?